This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Pat Hodapp. She's Director of Libraries for the City of Santa Fe, and she's author of a new book called The Complete Santa Fe Bucket List, 100 Things to Do in Santa Fe Before You Die. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So this is a book, and by the way, you will be speaking on Thursday, the 9th of June at Collected Works in Santa Fe at 6 in the evening, and again at the Santa Fe Main Library in the Community Room on Sunday, June 12th from 2 to 4. This is a book for people who live here. Lots of things we've already done and a few we haven't. Was it surprising for you? Like, did you find things that, having lived here all the years you've lived here, that you hadn't heard of?
Actually, there were a couple of things, and some didn't make the book. But what is so I've lived here, it's coming up on 12 years, but we'd moved to the West, to Colorado in 1972, and we immediately started coming to Santa Fe. And I actually wrote up a little guidebook the first time I came here for friends who'd never been here. They lived in Greeley, Denver, and they said, "Oh, you went all the way to Santa Fe?" And I'm like, yes, I did. And what's funny is, of course, some of the places are still here. The Shed, for example, is still here. Some of my favorite restaurants like Chiflupa are gone, but the Cowgirl's still here. But it's more than restaurants. It's little things that I've found over the years that I enjoy and go back to all the time. And I've been kind of stunned that a lot of locals say, "I didn't know about that." And I'm like, "Oh, good."
What are some examples of those?
Las Posadas, the history museum in town. It's about a week before Christmas, does Las Posadas. And what it is Mary and Joseph with their local church. The people playing Mary and Joseph walk around the plaza, and they go to each side, and they stand in front and beg in wonderful Spanish songs, and a guitarist and the church choir, and they beg to be let into the inn. "Please give us a place to stay." And then on top of the roof pops up a devil who swears. Some of them are a little bit stronger swearing than some of the church members like, but they swear in Spanish, "Go away, you unwed mother." That's a polite way of saying it. So they move on to the next side of the plaza, and they hand out candles to everybody. And people stand there and light their candles with the person next to them. It's really kind of a bond. And they go all the way around the plaza, each side with the devil sending them away. And they end up at the blue doors into the history museum. And all of a sudden, they open and they're welcomed in. And you go in and there are luminaria fires, choirs singing, bizcochitos, hot cider. It's just magical, and it's free.
Right.
And you really get a feel of Santa Fe and northern New Mexico. So that's just one of my, I've taken more people to that who just didn't know that it existed. A lot of things happen behind those blue doors on Lincoln. People don't know that there's a mountain man rendezvous there in the summer. Children who of the Portal Native Americans sell jewelry in there a couple of times a year. And so they're just little magical things that people find if they go behind doors or go behind coyote fences.
It's interesting when you come across the rituals here in Santa Fe whose purpose, or whose, I guess you might say, social function historically was, in fact, to bond the people living in the city when it was a much smaller city and people knew each other. And Posadas is one of the examples of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Penn Lafarge here in town sometimes rails against the walk on Canyon Road, only because it's so huge. But Penn, of course, remembers it when it was just a few families going door to door and enjoying fun treats at the various galleries. And now it is so huge. But you just have to accept that and learn how to work with it. Go early, go late.
Right.
And you still have the same amount of fun. And people stop and sing around the luminarias. And you just don't find that anymore.
Right. There was an event that I went to some years ago called, it was the Dance of Los Cascarones.
Yes.
And there's something amazing that happens in that, which is that all the women at the dance get a little apron made of a brightly colored print, and all the men get a tie made of a brightly colored print, but they're all different. And at a certain point, there you have to find the person who has this, the one that matches yours, and then you dance with them, and then that person is your, it's not compadre, but it's like some word like that,
right,
for the rest of the year. And of course, the person who was my, whatever it was, compadre, I never saw again. But I realized, you know, let's go back 100 years. That is a way of bonding people who are not kin.
Exactly. And you meet someone and you have something, in this case, something to laugh about. Maybe they're not a good dancer. Something that they find out that they both have the same kind of dog. And so they find something in common.
Right.
But the cascarones are the eggs that are filled with confetti. And my understanding is you smash that on someone's head.
It's lots of fun. And that's the thing about traditions, is that they seem sort of silly and folkloric, but they're in many ways more profound than that.
So many of these things are not only in Santa Fe, but they're prevalent in northern New Mexico. Almost every little town has a Las Posadas, and sometimes it lasts 7 to 9 days.
Yeah.
And you go to each house and they give you cookies or something, and then you move on. So you get to see your neighbors and talk. My sister was in Topeka, Kansas, and had an automobile accident. And she came out fine, but it was Christmas, and the local church had decided that they would go around with a van and sing to everybody who came to their church or got food from them or help. My sister had to have some help from them. And there on Christmas Eve, my sister's kind of lonely, and there she hears this singing outside her door, and the church has brought all the kids to sing to her.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was just, you know, and it wasn't that she couldn't turn on a radio. She could still go out to a concert, but they came to her and sang, and it's so wonderful. We don't have much caroling in Santa Fe, and when I was in Denver, we would go caroling on certain blocks, and it just bonded everybody. If you didn't go out caroling, we left a gift. If you did come caroling, you came back to someone's house and had cookies and hot cider and talked about who was home, who was well, who wasn't. And it was almost a visiting, for particularly for the older members of the community, that someone had remembered them. And that's what I love about Santa Fe. So many people and friends of mine in other parts of the country think Santa Fe is just so rich and nose in the air, and they don't realize that there's a real middle class here. There's a really people who live here and live this kind of life of going to these kinds of things.
One of the things that I was thinking about while going through your book was, I mean, and you're describing it too. You're from the Midwest, but you lived in Denver for a very long time and came down to Santa Fe. And there's a way that I think Santa Fe integrates visitors or tourists, which is a little different from somebody maybe visiting Paris or something like that. They come, they go, they're never seen again, or they come, but there's, you can, even if you don't live here, you can start to become part of it.
You can. And that's, I think that's part of my point. But people have to be open. And I tell in there that one of my favorite things to do is when I see a tourist standing in the middle of the street, either with a map or their GPS.
Now their phone, yeah.
And their phone, but they're standing in the middle of the street. And I think they think we're Disneyland, and I will just pull up or walk up and say, "Where are you heading?" And it's amazing the response. The wife will say, "We can't find our hotel. We know it's right here." And they may be standing in front of it
because
they can't read their map lexic, is my term. And for other people, they're like, "Well, why are you asking?" I said, "Oh, I just thought I'd, you know, and have you been to this restaurant? Or where are you staying?" And just give them some hints. Just about 2 weeks ago, I was in front of City Hall, and there was a couple with a baby in a stroller who was really restless. And you can tell who tourists are. You really can. I said, "Where are you from?" And they said, "Boulder, Colorado." I said, "Oh, really? Let me talk for a couple of minutes." And their baby was so restless, or he was about 1 year old. And I said, "You know what would be fun? I bet he'd like to climb on the cutthroat shark sculptures. There are 27 of them just on the other side. She said, you can climb on them? We haven't seen them. So she took off with the young kid. I talked to him and we walked over. And the kid was having a ball and he said, what else do you know about in Santa Fe? I said, funny, you should ask.
And whipped out your book?
No, I told him where it was sold. I said, you really ought to go to Collected Works. And actually, it's also at other bookstores in town. But I said, you know, you could pick up a book for your little kid because they didn't have, they just all of a sudden on the spur of the moment had driven to Santa Fe. They had never been here. He had started his own business in Boulder, very successful. He said, we just packed the car and drove down. I said, well, do you like to hike? Send him up to Atalaya, send him to the shed, send him to... And they emailed me about 2 days later and said, this was just the best visit to Santa Fe. Thank you.
We're talking to Pat Hodapp about her book, The Complete Santa Fe Bucket List. Now, when you put this together, were you thinking pretty much of outsiders, or is this also really for people who live here, do you think?
I think I went both ways because I found that so many people who lived in Santa Fe didn't know about some of these things. And also, it was just my little joy to put people in Santa Fe that love Santa Fe, that take part in the community. And it was kind of fun just to reference them, not necessarily by name, but they know who they are.
Right.
We were talking earlier about the dog park, and there's a picture in here of Blackie, my neighbor's dog. And I mean, I could have put any dog in, but why not put Blackie in? Give him some fame. It was really fun. I went to the DeVargas Theater. I had to get a picture. And there were a lot of people standing outside. And I said, oh, would any of you mind being in the picture? Because I could take the picture of Santa Fe Playhouse. And nobody would. Right then, this staff member of mine and her parents walked up. And he passed recently. He's just a sweetheart. And he was in his 90s. And he said, great. And he stood tall. And he's always he was always in all the veterans parades. I was thinking of him today with his wife. And I took the picture. And it's in the book, so that he's immortalized in the book.
So you had some fun taking the pictures for the book.
Oh, yes. And I think I was surprised that writing it was easy. Number one, I had 300 things to decide. That was the toughest thing, was narrowing it down to 100. And then the next thing was, how do you actually portray what you're talking about? And so I love the smell of pinion in the air. And that was like number 47. And I thought, How am I gonna put that in pictures? I could show a kiva fireplace. I could have pinion, but it didn't do it. So that went in near misses. So people in the back, there were about 100 near misses, and it smelled the pinion. But it was just fun things that I like. That just to me feels like it's really Santa Fe. I did a thing on the cathedral and, of course, the Conquistadore and other things in there. But the one thing I put in there was stop and listen to the bells. And I'd had a friend who went to London, and I'd given her my little guidebook to London. I write a guidebook everywhere I go. And she came back and I said, what did you think of Big Ben? They had been there 10 days and had never heard Big Ben.
Oh, my goodness.
They had always been in the underground, in a hotel, in an art museum. They had never heard Big Ben.
Yeah.
And so I put in there, stop and listen to the bells. When, and I love things that are sometimes one-timers. The Mission Church restored their bell and put it in about a year and a half ago. And it had not rung in 150 years. So they invited people to come, a lot of higher-ups, of course, and everybody had to go up to the rope at the bell tower, and they rang it 150 times.
Oh, my goodness.
And all of us just sat outside on the kind of patio area there and just listened. This had not rung in 150 years. And, of course, the Mission Church is one of my favorite things. The late Father Lester, who was just a love, gave this wonderful tour. And if you miss that tour, it's sad, because he would go in and talk about the pictures on the wall that were animal hides from the 1600s, St. Michael and everything. And he always ended his talk with this one statement, because that church was built by Native Americans. And if they died, they were buried underneath the church. And he always claimed that on one summer day, when tourists were sitting in there, a group of Indians walked across in front of the altar and out the other side of the building through solid walls. So he said, now, I never saw them, but I felt them. And so it's not just a church, a building. You have to bring all of this into context.
And that's the San Miguel Mission.
Yes.
Next to Upper Crust Pizza.
Yes. And then the oldest house is on that same alley. And I put the oldest house in also. And it's really, if you see how people lived back then, trust me, I am so glad that I have running water and indoor toilet.
Yeah, I mean, we can romanticize times in which we never lived or places that we've never lived because we forget how rough it is not to have the conveniences that we have gotten so used to. We're talking to Pat Hodapp about her book, The Complete Santa Fe Bucket List. And one of the things that's fun in here is that you have a guide to 7 days of breakfast. And, of course, our beloved Santa Fe Baking Company is no longer here. I imagine it might have been in an earlier draft of the book.
It was. I had to cut that out at the last minute.
Yeah. But lots of places to have lots of different kinds of breakfast. I mean, you could have 7 breakfast burritos in a row, but you could
Absolutely.
Also have a lot of different kinds of things besides that.
That was fun. You know, I didn't want to make this a restaurant book, but one of the things people immediately ask you is where to eat. And I put my little story in there. I was living in Denver with my good friend. My husband was teaching in Ukraine at the time. And we talked to each other. We'd been out painting and said, let's go to breakfast. And from the last major road south of Denver, it's 456 miles to Santa Fe. Just happened to know that number. And so we just got in the car, drove to Santa Fe, had breakfast, walked around the plaza, and drove back. Sometimes you just have to have chili.
Wow. Did you get a really early start?
Really early start.
And you still made it for time for breakfast?
Oh, yes. Oh,
amazing.
Yes.
So what were some real surprises for you in writing this? What did you learn that you hadn't known before?
Oh, that's a hard question. That's a hard question. And some of those things didn't make it into the book. Like there are petroglyphs out past the airport.
I didn't know that.
I know, and I haven't been out there yet. But everybody says, do you have the petroglyphs in there? And I go, oh my gosh, no, I've got to find it. I've got to go out there for the second edition. I think that I tried to actually put in things in here that I already knew mm-hmm. and I felt were solid things about Santa Fe. But it's fun to read the near misses because people sometimes tap the same things. But I hadn't been out to the Tent Rocks. Okay, it's not quite within the city limits of Santa Fe.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is it Santa Fe County or city that the book...
It's kind of the county. Plus, if you just can't miss it, like Los Ranchos de Golondrinas.
Right.
You got to put it in there. I mean, people come and ask about it. And actually, some people challenged me that I put in Buffalo Thunder. But Buffalo Thunder, although they advertise Santa Fe, they have one of the most incredible art collections ever. George Rivera, who'd been the head of the Pueblo, the governor, helped them choose all of the things. And, of course, some of his sculptures are there, too. So that's not quite in Santa Fe. But I tried to stay pretty much in where people... And some of the things I put in here, people had asked me about, and I talked to people in the library at the reference desk. People love the library because they feel safe there. They come in yeah. and they know they could probably look at a guidebook. They can get their boarding pass. They can hunt up maps and trails. And so I tried to gear much of this to what people had asked me. And I'd ask people, and in these talks, I'm going to have little 3x5 cards and say, what do you think should be in there? And what's so amazing is probably the top 20. Everybody has the top 20.
Right.
You have to go to the plaza. You have to do Spanish Market, Indian Market. You've got to do
folk
George
art
O'Keefe.
Market, O'Keefe.
Folk art, the opera. You've got to at some point do something at the opera. And Christmas Eve walk. But so there are like about 20 that everybody does. But what I try to do, even like with the opera, is everybody thinks it's, oh, it's so exclusive and so expensive. At the end of the season, they do apprentices singing. They do two nights. These are the apprentices that've sung all the minor roles all summer, and they're vying to go to a better venue. And all of the scouts are in the audience. And for $20, you can sit in the third row if you want, if you buy your tickets early enough. And here are these young opera singers just singing their hearts out. They've had them kids there. I say kids. Anybody under 30 is a kid. Who've gone on to the Met or the Houston Opera. And it's $20. Yeah. And you can still do your tailgate party just with everybody else and look exclusive up there. But you didn't pay $100 to $150 a ticket sometimes.
Well, you can also go standing room. And if you do it strategically, you can go on a night that's not sold out and then worm exactly. your way into a seat. And they don't mind if you do that.
They also, and I think we may just be past it because this is mid-May, but they will offer specials. If you go online, they'll offer specials. If they know one night isn't selling as well, they will go on and offer them for 50% off.
Right.
And it's fabulous. But what is fun is to get up there and enjoy the opera, maybe for the first time, and maybe you'll come back. And even if you don't like the opera, you're there at sunset, and that is probably the most beautiful place to look at the hills and to look at the sunset.
One of the things that you said when we were starting out was the businesses that have been here since you started coming to Santa Fe many years ago. Do you have any sense of what that is, what makes a long-lived business that just keeps on year after year, decade after decade?
You know, Santa Fe has so many restaurants that come and go, and that's sad because some of them are fabulous, but they just don't quite find their niche. Something like the Shed is always consistent. They are, if you want red chili, you've got red chili, and you think about it. You dream about it when you're not living here and you want to go back there. And part of it is truly the people who run the place. They go out of their way. Not that they necessarily know you, but like I've walked into the Shed and I admit sometimes I tell them I'm a local and I'm on my lunch hour, and they make room at the bar for me, or they'll say, you know, this one's coming up. We'll get you in there. And I don't do that often, but some, you know, it's like, wow. They really kind of know you. They think about you, and that's really special.
Ladies and gentlemen, put on your pink shirt and your white sneakers and your Bermuda shorts. And I mean, this is something that I've always wanted to do is just put on a total. I don't even know what tourists wear anymore, but like put on a total tourist outfit. And a little like backpack and go around Santa Fe and pretend it's the first day that I've ever been here and like see if any, probably your friends wouldn't even recognize you if you did that.
No, unfortunately they do. That's tough. That's a hard one to do, but it's so wonderful to see all of these restaurants that have made it and are so friendly. One of the things I mentioned is that the Casa Sena, they have this incredible flower garden there. And I happened to be talking to a woman who's gardening. I said, this is beautiful. She said, oh, I've worked here 20 years. And I said, just casually, would people ever pick the flowers? And she said, oh, the worst one was this local woman who picked almost every flower because she was doing a dinner party that night and just gathered them all up and took them.
Oh, my God.
The gardener was furious. She wanted the woman arrested, I think. And I said, well, what happened? And typical of Santa Fe, they just let her do it. They welcomed her back when she came next time and never said a word. And I don't think she ever did it again. But
lady, if you're listening,
we know who you are. But that was just kind of an incredible thing. But some of the things here aren't really. It's kind of the things that are about Santa Fe, but not necessarily the 100 things you have to do. But things like, have you stopped to look at the clouds? Have you really looked at the clouds? And I mentioned in there that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was up at the opera talking to a lot of people, and they said, "Oh, why do you come, this Supreme Court Justice?" And she said, "Oh, I love the opera, but it's the clouds. The clouds are so amazing." And so that's the kind of little thing that I put in there to let people really know what people think of Santa Fe and what they love. I was sitting on a patio at Angel's Bakery, and I was with my publisher, LPD Press. Barb Awalt was there, and these three women came. There are only two tables there, and three women came in, and they were checking everything and said, "Oh," they said, "we're so happy they'd come in from Vancouver for 3 days." And they, all of a sudden, this woman said, "What's with the blue, all the blue?" And she meant the blue around the windows and doors here. And I couldn't help it. I leaned over and said, "Let me tell you." And you'll have to read the book to find out why all the blue is in Santa Fe.
Pat Hodapp is Director of Libraries for the City of Santa Fe. She's author of the book, The Complete Santa Fe Bucket List, 100 Things to Do in Santa Fe Before You Die. And you can hear her speak on Thursday, June 9th at Collected Works Bookstore at 6 in the evening, and also on Sunday, June 12th at the Santa Fe Main Library Community Room from 2 to 4. Wonderful book. You can find it at bookstores around town. Thank you so much for being with us.
It was a pleasure. I love to share Santa Fe with everybody. And I like it when people come up to me, and I'm sure they will, and they'll tell me something that's not in the book. And I'm thrilled because it'll be in the next edition.
Excellent. Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.